Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hi, and welcome to Dave and Shucky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I'm Dave.
That's the one you're going to go with?
What?
That's the one you're going with.
Hi, I'm Dave. Why not?
Okay, and I'm Shucky. And in our podcast, what we like to do is review movies that are available to you in the comfort of your own home on your own Groovy Boob Tube. Movies that maybe are on pay-per-view or HBO or maybe even PAX. No, not PAX. But that's what we do here. That's what we do now. So, but before we even start on today's movie, we did go out to the movies this week and went to see the opening of The Da Vinci Code.
Yes, we did.
Last week we... I don't know if it was on this show or maybe my other podcast, we speculated who should have been the star of The Da Vinci Code instead of Tom Hanks. And I think we both gave a thumbs up to Jeff Goldblum.
It's true. Although Tom Hanks wasn't bad.
Tom Hanks wasn't bad, but his face was very meaty.
Tom Hanks has become swollen.
I think
he's inflamed.
Do you think he's on the prednisone? Or do you
no,
think...
no, I just think he's inflamed.
What is it...
He's not. I think he's retaining water.
Yeah, but isn't that like a prednisone thing?
Well, I don't think so. He's not quite Jerry Lewis.
At one point, that chick puts her hand on his face, and her little tiny hand looks completely lost on his big meaty features.
Well, he's big Tom fucking Hollywood Hanks.
Now, this movie is getting panned, trashed, whatever, by a lot of people, though I've seen some reviews from people who think it's really good. I don't think it sucks at all. And, it, you know, at no point in the movie did I think, oh, God, this is really sucking. But the truth of the matter is that the book is so very entertaining. It's one of those page turners that you just don't want to put down, or at least that's how I felt. What did you think when you read the book?
Yeah, about the reading the book there. I think I misplaced that old copy there up in the closet over there.
I see.
Didn't have a chance to read it.
Well, it's hard to translate this book into a movie, and I think they did a good job. They didn't do a great job, but the movie would have had to been much longer. I think they did a decent job, a good job. What did you think?
Yeah, I didn't think it was very good. No, very good at all.
Dave, after we left the movie, you told me that you thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, but now looking back on it, I don't think it was very good.
Okay.
Like some movies, like, you know, for instance, The Village.
Right.
I didn't think it was very good while I watched it. But then, I thought it was better, and I keep thinking it's better. That movie I like now.
Even this many years after we've seen it, now you think it's better now?
Because it keeps popping into my head, little scenes from it, little things here and there. Not that it had any significance, but whatever. I keep thinking about it, and it keeps, you know, whatever. I like it. I like it for that reason.
So we saw Da Vinci Code 3 days ago, and as we were walking out to the car, you said, that was pretty good. And now it's turned from, that was pretty good, until I don't like it.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good, but it wasn't groundbreaking. It wasn't anything to write the church about. I mean, whatever. It was just...
It was what it was.
It was kind of watered down, if you ask me.
But you didn't even read the book.
Yeah, but I know about what's going on.
I
know about the truth. I know about the books.
But you've read the other Dan Brown books, or at least one other one.
I don't need to read Dan Brown.
Okay.
To know that there's a cover-up in society.
Okay.
It doesn't take a genius to know that women have been suppressed all throughout the world, and that's part of the main problem as to why we're so messed up. I know.
Okay.
I know about the church. I know, you know, it doesn't matter about Mary Magdalena. She's not the only, whatever the hell her name is. She's not the only woman who's been fucked and suppressed throughout time. You don't got to know the specifics to know the details. If I can quote Yogi Berra. You know what I'm saying? I don't got to know the specifics. I don't need to know every move that George Bush makes. I don't need to know every move that Bill Clinton makes. I know he was with women. I know that George Bush does stupid things. You know, you don't have to be a genius to know this.
Okay. So on a scale from 1 to 10, what do you give the Da Vinci Code?
I give it a 6.5. And the problem with the Da Vinci Code was it was too slow. It was slow. Ron Howard stepped up and he fucking hit a short fly. It didn't go over the wall.
Okay.
It was all right. I've seen much better episodes of Angel.
I think I do remember you saying that. Angel, of course, the Joss Whedon show starring David Boreanaz.
And let me tell you something else. Exactly. David Boreanaz is the man. And Bones is terrible. Speaking of boob tube stuff. Don't judge Boreanaz on Bones. Judge him on Angel. All right? Not Buffy. Angel.
You said 6.5?
Yeah. Just because... Yeah, it didn't go far enough. It didn't take me anywhere. It was nowhere near as good as what we just saw on TV right now, I'll tell you that much.
Well, let me just...
And that wasn't even on the big screen.
Let me just wrap this segment up before we ruin everything. I would give The Da Vinci Code a 7. I think that it had good acting. I think that I liked the flashback segments. I liked them. The truth of the matter is that the whole part about Constantine and whatnot, I would rather see a documentary about that stuff. I find that stuff very interesting. So I'd rather see a documentary.
I hear that.
But it wasn't horrible. And I will say, Dave and I live in a very rural area up here, and that was the first time we've gone to a movie and had the theater almost packed.
Yeah.
And a 2:00 show.
Very crowded.
2:00 in the afternoon.
And we had Tony Soprano sitting right next to me.
That's true. That's true.
Throughout the whole movie, she thinks I'm breathing heavy. And it's the guy next to me breathing even heavier.
I
unbelievably loud throughout the whole movie. What is that? Couldn't he hear himself? Jesus.
That guy was breathing so loud that I thought it was Dave trying to be funny. I thought Dave had lost interest in the movie and was now just resorting to trying to make me laugh.
Oh my God.
By breathing like Tony Soprano. And so it did make me laugh. I was laughing and giggling. I was dropping my cup. I was making all kinds of noise in reaction to Dave's breathing. But it wasn't Dave's breathing. It was the guy who happened to sit right.
He had to sit right next to me.
There was a couple.
Open seats everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it was packed, but there was a couple seats in front of us that were open. And this big, heavy dude has to sit right next to Dave and then breathe at such a high decibel level.
He took it upon himself to use the armrest the whole time, too.
Are you kidding?
That wasn't up for me to use. That wasn't an option, even though I was in the seat first. I went to get popcorn, and then he moved in.
That dick. I didn't like that guy or his stupid friends. All right, so enough of this. I say 7, you say 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5. It was boring.
Okay.
It bored me. I kept being aware that I was in the movie and was bored.
Well, okay. Well, if somebody's breathing that heavily next to you,
oh
I'm sure
God,
it's
Oh, my God. That
hard.
Was rough, too.
I was going to say, that probably has took you out of the movie a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. I kept trying to lean away from the guy.
When you have to see that...
Put my hand over my face.
This is another bad thing about going to the movies is that, you know, you're so quick to be out of the experience because of some asshole next to you, behind you, in front of you. All it takes is a cell phone or a heavy breathing guy or a baby crying, and it instantly ruins that movie going experience. Where when you're home and watching a film like we just saw, I mean, you're in it. You're in it. You're comfortable in your own home. You know there's not going to be really anything on the outside that's going to bother you. and you can really get involved.
I say one thing on a side note there, that remake of The Omen looks pretty good.
Anyway.
Whoa, she doesn't like the remake of The Omen. I think it's going to be good. It's coming out on 6606. Get it? Hey.
Yeah, well, that, okay. Anyway, this week, we watched
King Kong.
Indeed. Now, this is the Peter Jackson remake. This the original was made in, I believe, 1932 and released in 1933. And then, of course, they had the remake in 1976, which really wasn't... it didn't follow the same story as the first movie. And Peter Jackson... I did not see King Kong in the theaters. I didn't see it because... it was over 3 hours long, and I didn't think Dave could sit still for 3 hours in a movie theater. And it got some... I was hearing mixed reviews about it. And so I had really not seen any of it until today when we got it on pay-per-view on DirecTV. Complete with the Malton Minute.
Lucky yeah, I made us. Sure to miss that.
You did. You missed the Malton Minute, which was, you know... I mean, he's just
fucking Malton Minute.
It's just Leonard Maltin being Leonard Maltin. But I just have to say, wow, this movie, Peter Jackson's King Kong, I would say is a masterpiece. I would go and say that.
I'd say it was very good.
You would say it was very good.
I'd say it was better than Titanic.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd say it was better than Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I would also say it was just a little too long.
See, for me...
Okay, let me put it this way before you say that.
Okay.
It just needs... we need an intermission. Intermission. Has anyone ever heard of an intermission? Please, just give me 10, 15 minutes to just chill for a second. Go to the bathroom, eat some food, do what I gotta do. And then I can get back into the movie. Because this is absurd.
Well, see, this is the problem with you not being able to sit still, and sadly, our replay TV is broken, and we have yet to replace it.
The only time I can sit still is when I don't feel well. Then I sit still, and I watch movie after movie. That's why when I didn't feel well, we watched Kicking and Screaming and Collateral. But once I start feeling well, I can't sit. I just can't sit around forever.
Which is kind of... I'm not like that. I have to say, this movie, from the opening scenes, had me. I was just really into it. It was just...
It was a lot better than I expected, I tell you that much.
Oh my God, it blew me away. It was so much better than I expected.
I would agree that it was a masterpiece, except it was like two masterpieces. It should have been like one masterpiece and then the next masterpiece. It's too much for one masterpiece.
I hear what you're saying, but it's just.
It took an
great.
Hour and 15 minutes before they even showed Kong.
So?
So, it took another hour for them to get off the island. It was a little long. I don't know.
I see. I think, and I could see where they cut some stuff out, which I wish they would have left in to make it even longer. Because... with me, I like movies. I like to watch movies. I really get into everything about them. The casting and locations and the computer graphics and the shooting. I like to look at all of that stuff. And I was never thinking, wow, this movie's going on too long. And towards the end, I was thinking, crap, this fucking movie's going to end soon. The only slight problem I had was when I think that they cut out footage with Jimmy. The little kid who was reading Hearts of Darkness, he was very much into wanting to save Naomi Watts' character.
He was part ape. He came from the island originally. He was some kind of weird ape captive. Remember how he had broken arms and he preferred it downstairs like an animal? And he was from Skull Island. They cut something out.
I don't think they cut that part out, but I think he was, you know, the only person that was really befriended him was the black guy,
Mr. Hayes.
And I think Jimmy liked to hide down below For whatever reason, he had been treated horribly somewhere. I don't think it was Skull Island necessarily, but, and I think maybe somewhere during the voyage to Skull Island, Naomi Watts' character might have brought him out of his shell a little bit, treated him with kindness that maybe no one else had. And that's why he was so into wanting to save her. But I think in the interest of cutting stuff out of the movie for time, I think they might have cut some of that stuff out. That is just, that's what was going through my mind at a few points when they were, you know, I just think they took some stuff out with him. I don't know. I don't think he was from Skull Island.
I think he was from the island.
Okay, well, you can think that. So, what were you thinking while you're watching? See, this, you're hard to, it's hard for you to watch these long movies.
Well, I'm thinking the whole time that that's Nicole Kidman up there.
It was Naomi Watts.
I'm like, yeah, Nicole Kidman, okay. Naomi Watts, what is that? A black chick from the Rolling Stones?
What?
I don't know Naomi Watts. To me, that sounds like Naomi Campbell and Charlie Watts. That's what I think of. Naomi Watts, I'm like some chick who sings background for the Stones.
No, Naomi Watts is in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know. See, I'm not a, I'm a weird guy to be reviewing movies. I'll put it to you like that. So for me, you know, things I don't view it the same as your average movie guy. Because I swear, I thought the guy in the Da Vinci Code was someone else throughout the whole movie, till the end. I thought it was John Hurt, and it was Ian, whatever the hell his name is.
McClellan?
Yeah. Who's that?
Why did you sit there and think it was one guy? Why don't you just watch the movie for what it is?
I don't know, because I'm more into like, I like that guy. I'm more into like, oh, that guy's doing this part. And I get into that. I'm like, oh, that actor's doing this part. I'm more into that at some point.
Okay, well.
That's the problem. You see, then again, I was like, well, maybe it's Nicole Kidman, but maybe it's not. I didn't know it was Naomi Watts, though. I had no idea that. And at that point, I'm like, pretty good. I'm like, okay, it's just some blonde chick. Basically, I was able to just believe her as the blonde girl in the movie.
See, I think she did a wonderful job.
She did a good job.
I mean, I cannot stress enough how much I really loved this movie. I thought it was just so well done. I thought the script was well written. I thought the dialogue was great. I thought the casting was great. Jack Black was awesome. No, Naomi Watts was great. Adrian Brody was great. I mean, there was not one thing I didn't like about the movie, including the length. And I would have happily sat there for an extra 20 minutes, you know, if that's how much they had taken out. Or however much they would have taken out.
I would have liked it if Kong had lived.
Well, that's not the original movie, though.
Original schmoriginal. She should have gone off in the sunset and had bestiality existence with the Kong. That's where it was going.
No.
That's where it should have gone. Everyone would have been happy. Adrian Brody misses the boat, and she goes off with Kong, who they have some sort of soul relationship with. I'm not saying sexual, but some sort of thing.
You might be filthy.
Who needs Kong to die? At the end he says, beauty killed her. I mean, beauty killed the beast. Yeah, well, I think it was actually the guns. The bullets. And the thing is, every time he's trying to fight off the planes, she comes up and distracts him. So, yeah, she distracted him. So in that sense, yes, beauty does kill the beast. She's up there distracting him. He can't fight
she's
off the goddamn plate.
She's distracting him.
Every time she comes up there, he's got to put him away or look at her eyes, and he can't fight off the goddamn plate. He gets hit in the back when he's looking at her. She killed him. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, get the fuck out of there and let him fight the planes.
He's not. He was never going to be able to fight the planes.
Yeah, but see, we know that because it's Kong. But that's one drag. That's what takes away from it for me. The fact that it's King Kong. It should have been, they should have changed it up. Anything goes.
King Kong, the original King Kong, was a big inspiration to Peter Jackson. And I found on the internet where it says that he claims that the first time he saw that movie, that was the moment he decided he wanted to be a filmmaker. That movie had such an impact on him. And that's why he wanted to be the one to remake it. And he wanted to pay tribute to the original and also, you know, add his own thing to it. And I can't recommend this movie enough. As a matter of fact, I am really looking forward to, I don't know, I know it's out on DVD, but I'm not sure if it's the director's cut. I'd like to see the longer version. I would like to see what, you know, because I think it was probably much longer. And I'd like to see other stuff that was in there.
I liked it. I can't stand to see much more of it, though.
So you would not watch it again?
I would, yeah. I don't really feel the desire to watch it again.
Because when we were talking about the Da Vinci Code, you were saying that the movie we watched today was so much better than the Da Vinci Code.
It is.
And you were really touting it as something, and I had to even actually tell you to step off for a second. And now you're changing right before my eyes.
I liked it a lot. I just didn't like it as much as you did.
Okay. Alrighty. What didn't you like about it? Other than the time. And the fact that Kong dies.
I did not like it. I liked it. I liked the movie.
What did you like about it?
It was very well made. It was like put together really well. They captured the 1930s well. It was a well-told story. It kept me entertained. It was good.
It didn't. It kind of was. When there wasn't action happening, it was still, you were still glued to the screen. I felt anyway. I was.
It had a lot of surprises to it. A lot of things I didn't expect.
Like what?
I didn't expect there to be any dinosaurs. And that whole weird thing with the natives, that was a little weird.
The natives were really, the natives in 1933, you can imagine what they look like. Not very, they were looked a little bit like, you know, the Tarzan natives.
These ones look more like aliens.
These ones, yeah. The whole, everything on the island was really crazy. But the people were all kinds of fucked up. They were scary looking. They were not civilized at all. But they weren't like, I don't know, like say you were in Africa and stumbled upon a tribe that had no human contact outside of their own people. This is not what you would have found on Skull Island. Those are not the same kind of people. On Skull Island, they were just really scary people. And it was like little details like that as how scary they are, I thought were great. And there were dinosaurs in the original, but not in the 1976 version.
Ah.
The 1976 version with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange.
That's not to be taken seriously.
What, that version?
Yeah.
It had some interesting moments, but it wasn't nearly the work of art that this one was. They strayed from the story. They modernized it up a bit, so it wasn't nearly as good. Like I said, Peter Jackson really loved the original movie, and he really wanted to pay tribute to it, and I think he did.
Yeah, he definitely did a very good job. Just a little too long, and predictable, because it's King Kong. Other than that, it's a great movie.
Well, predictable.
I think he did a better job than the story, quite frankly. What's the big appeal about this story? What's so great about this? You go, they bad people go kill a nice animal. Why is this a good story?
It's,
couldn't he have come up with his own story and done such a remarkable job? I mean, everything's great about the movie except for the story.
Did it make you sad at the end?
No.
It didn't?
No. Because I knew it was going to happen, and I'm not going to be manipulated by something that I'm already knowing is going to happen. Let's not forget, Kong was a vicious person. He was killing those other things very aggressively. He's not, he wasn't exactly a nice guy. You know what I'm saying? Don't be forced into feeling sympathetic for Kong. Kong, yeah, he was taken out of his element, but in his element, he was a murderous beast who liked the sunset.
But Kong wasn't in... Whenever we saw him killing stuff, he was never... He was not the first provoker.
You don't get to be Kong just by being passive. Kong's like Tony Soprano. He's not a nice man. You can't be and be Kong. He wouldn't have been on the island being the king of the island. Taking no sacrifices.
I don't think he was the king
of the island. Look at all those bones underneath him. All the other people he killed. Those natives gave him people and he was eating them right up.
I don't think
he was... The boneyard.
We didn't see him eat any meat at all.
I'm telling you, they're trying to gain sympathy for the Kong. He's a goddamn killer.
Again, I didn't see Kong initiate any attacks. He only fended off other animals. And the king, in his name, was not... That was given to him by Jack Black's character. I don't think he was the king of that island at all.
Why were they feeding him... Why would they give sacrificing humans to him? That was the whole... The natives were so happy that they had a white woman to sacrifice to him. They're like, oh shit, a blonde. This is the most pure sacrifice possible.
I don't think the natives thought that.
Of course they did. That's why they took her. They could have taken anyone. They took the blonde chick.
Well, I think it's always a girl.
It's always a blonde, if at all possible.
There was no blonde natives.
Blonde, blue eyes, baby. You find one of those, it's like a goddamn pound of cocaine to a junkie.
What are you talking about?
That's the source. The Da Vinci Code. That's the blue blood. The source. The blondes with the blue eyes. They are the ones you sacrifice to the gods. And Kong was their god.
I think, okay.
Kong was the king. He was an evil, evil god who ate white women. And for some reason, this white woman starts doing some kind of tap dancing routine and becomes the jester of his court. She's the knave to him, entertains him, and captures his, you know, gets his fancy in his eye. All because she makes a fool of herself. Otherwise, she would have been eaten. Kong would have eaten that bitch.
He would have eaten her right away.
He was going to eat her right away, but she poked him in the hand. No one had ever done that but Kong before, you see.
Is that what he told you?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm saying that Kong's an evil man. And
he's
she
not
had
a
make,
man. You keep saying he's an evil
make
man.
She had to make a fool of herself in order to appease the Kong. And those natives know the power of the white woman.
The natives had never seen anybody on that island other than themselves.
They sought out the white woman like a goddamn charm. They could have picked Jack Black. They could have picked Adrian Brody. They picked the white woman.
They picked her because she was a woman. She was the only other woman.
There's women on that island already, plenty of them.
But they don't want to give up their own.
Aye, you're giving too much to the natives, just like I'm giving too much to the Kong.
the
That's
natives...
why it doesn't get my sympathy, though. I'm telling you, he's a big guy. He's a big beast. He's not just a nice man.
They made noise that made Kong come to them. How do you know that Kong wasn't angry and didn't take the sacrifice just because... He heard the noise, and the noise was annoying. They made a lot of noise. They were, like, drumming on everything, and that attracted him over there, but he might not have liked the noise. Maybe it was a little too loud, and maybe by the time he would get there, he'd be all pissed off, and there'd be this native strung up, and he'd be so angry that he would just grab the native, and I don't even know that he ate them. I think he probably just crushed them because there was bones there. You think Kong would not eat the bones of a person?
Why would he even eat a person? Do Kongs eat people?
That's what I'm saying. We never saw...
He would eat grass or something.
No.
Trees.
We never saw Kong eat anybody. All we saw him do was eat leaves in tree branches. But if Kong was going to eat a regular-sized person... I think he would just shove them down his gullet and not worry about picking the bones clean. So I think what would happen is that he would bring those people back and he might crush them mistakenly and then they would just rot and die there. Because there was bones and skulls and I just can't imagine that he was eating them. Because he's a big guy. He can eat anything he wants, whenever he wants. Kong could go fishing.
Kong should have taken a chick and ran out of the city. What's he doing climbing a goddamn tower?
He wanted to see something beautiful. He wanted to see the sunset over Hudson County.
This is what I'm saying. The movie is better than the story. It just is.
I think Peter Jackson's version embellishes the story and adds more to it and makes it a more interesting story.
I hear you. I think Peter Jackson made a better film than the story. I think Jack Black is a better actor than the story. And so is Adrian Brody. And Naomi Watts can go back to playing drums and singing background vocals for the Stones for all I care.
Naomi Watts, this is not the first movie she's been in.
Wait, can she never, she'll never tell?
No, that's Brittany Murphy.
Oh. Shite.
She was in, God, now see, I don't even know. Is she the one who's
I'm telling you, that's the name of an English woman.
I think she's the one who's in The Ring. In The Ring, too. I think that's her. She's really good, though. And she's, I mean, wow.
She was great in this movie. Everyone's very good in this movie. The movie's very good. I would, you know, you're going to be surprised at the mark I give this movie.
Do you want to tell everybody what the plot of the movie is?
The plot of which King Kong?
Well, maybe there's people that don't know the plot. Maybe they haven't seen the original.
You know, this is like some sort of racist movie.
What?
There's racial undertones going on
here. Where?
With the black man.
What black man?
The black man and the white woman.
Oh, Dave.
We gotta go there.
We don't have to go there because that's not true.
In the 1930s, that was what was in the mindset of people, you see. And this plays into the mindset of these people.
Can I be honest with you?
I don't think anyone cried in the 1930s when Kong died.
They did. The women, they cried.
Whoa.
People fainted. It was the original blockbuster movie.
They cried because they were sad of Kong dying?
Of course.
All right. I take it back. They were more simple-minded in the 30s.
They weren't, Dave, that wasn't that long ago. It's 60 years ago. People weren't simple-minded back then. Entertainment was simpler because we didn't have all of the technology we have today, but people weren't simple-minded. It wasn't like 65 years ago, everybody was a retard.
Well, we were a lot more naive. Let's just say we believed things that we don't believe as much today.
Like what?
I don't know.
Okay. What's
don't get me started.
Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, Dave, what do you give King Kong?
I would give it a 9.
So,
which may be one of the highest ratings I've given a movie.
For all your bitching about time and about the story and about racism and what else did you bitch about?
Everything possible.
You're giving it a 9.
That's true.
So
I'm telling you, this is a very good made, very well made film, very well acted, very well shot, very well conveyed. It's just the fact that it's King Kong and it was 3 hours long is the only reason I'm not giving it a 10.
All right. Are you also hungry? Really?
No.
I, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm giving it a 10. I'm giving it the ultimate high score. Because I'm just so glad that I finally saw this movie. And to be honest, I might not have been able to watch it in the theater. I might have been so sad at the end, like I was at Titanic or AI, where I couldn't even function in the theater afterwards. Because it is, and everybody knows the story of King Kong, but it doesn't matter when it's told this well. And this beautifully, you can't, even though you know it's coming, I couldn't help but react to it. And, I mean, boy, oh boy, did I react to it.
Well, they build up your sympathies with the animal because you're an animal lover.
Well, that's true, too. I am an animal lover.
They make you fall, you know, basically what was going on with King Kong and the blonde chick is a reversed pet situation. She became his pet, and he was, like, petting her. and holding her like we would hold our little dog.
But didn't they become really friends?
Well, aren't we friends with our animals?
Yeah.
Well, then there you go. That's what it was. It was a reverse pet thing. So you start feeling sympathy for him because, well, actually, he's the human in that role, but he looks kind of like a dog. He has, like, these features. He's like, you know.
He looks like an ape,
yeah,
Dave.
But apes look like humans, and humans and dogs have similarities in terms of how they kind of, like, you can relate. What I'm saying is when you apply human attributes to your dog, just as we were applying human attributes to the ape, so therefore we can relate to the ape as our pet as we do our dog. See what I'm saying? We looked at that ape and we're like, oh, he's cute. Look at him. Oh, why would you want to hurt him? He's a cute little doggy. That kind of same feeling.
I never looked at King Kong and thought, wow, isn't he cute? But
you felt sympathetic for him.
I felt sympathy towards him because he wanted to protect her. And we don't know what went down with the other people that were sacrificed to him. We just don't know. I mean, but something about her, they became friends.
I don't think any of the others juggled for him.
Well, that's the thing. They don't know.
She was from show business, you see. She was from vaudeville.
She was doing the pratfalls. He loved when she was falling down. He thought it was hilarious. And so to the point where she would get up and he would knock her down and he would think that was the silliest shit he ever saw. She entertained him.
It was true.
And I just thought, you know, like I said, a 10. I can't say much more than I'm giving it a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. And for you to give it a 9, Dave, even after your many complaints about it, I think that says a lot.
Well, you know, a 9 can have a lot of problems. Doesn't mean it's perfect.
Well, I thought it was. I did.
Well, there you go.
But there you go. I'm glad you gave it a 9 because you don't usually give things high scores.
Well, I am giving it a 9. But, you know.
A 9 butt.
I'm giving Hollywood a 6 or a 4. Yeah, fuck Hollywood. Hollywood gets a 3.
And that's based on?
That's based on the shit they've been putting out for the past 50 years.
All right, then. No, not 50. I would say after
1972.
I would say
79. All right, fine. 1981 and on. We got a problem. Past 25 years is a rough kid.
Yeah, it's bad kid.
No, there's been some gems. Don't get me wrong. I had hundreds of good movies. But it's just the mindset of the people that make them.
You know what it was? After like Star Wars and Jaws, when they started to go effects crazy, and then it became less about the story and more about the effects.
Why must it cost millions of dollars to make a movie? Why is that even legal? You know, and then we go into the theater, and it's $11 for 2 tickets, which is a bargain by any rate.
Yeah.
But then, how come 2 sodas and a popcorn is $14.50?
Is that what it was?
Oh, I got a snow cap, too. But still.
Snow caps are
$3.50. I got to spend close to $26 for snacks and a movie. And that's cheap.
And that's with somebody breathing next to
you. Other people in the cities pay more than that.
Yeah.
It's a fucking ripoff. Goddamn concessions.
I really just don't like the... We need to get ourselves one of those nice widescreen HD TVs, and then we'll never have to go to the movies again. Because just that guy sitting next to you and breathing heavy was enough to take our focus off of the movie.
It was ridiculous.
He was awful.
I didn't actually smell him. He didn't, with all that air coming out of him, I didn't actually smell anything.
Well, I guess that's a bonus.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was coming from his mouth or his nose. It was definitely coming out of him.
I think it was his nose, because he was very... Exactly. Which was making me laugh, because I just thought you were breaking into your Tony Soprano
routine.
That's right,
it was his nose.
I thought... I was like, okay, Dave's bored, and now he's just breathing like Tony Soprano to get my attention.
Never. Let me tell you something. Ron Howard dropped the ball, as far as I'm concerned, with the Da Vinci Code. Peter Jackson should have done the Da Vinci Code. Then we would have had something.
I can't disagree with that.
Either that or Ron Howard should have had Joss Whedon co-direct.
I think Joss Whedon needs to do more big screen stuff. I think the world needs to see more Joss Whedon.
Well, the problem is...
And David Boreanaz.
When you have a show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right, that kind of ruins your whole career.
Dave.
Unfortunately.
Dave, you have to stop because that's just... That's not true.
That was a good show. But with Dave, a title like that, what man is going to watch it who is not a fucking pervert?
Men love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, they don't love the title. They love Buffy, the character. That's a horrible title. A horrible name for a show.
Oh,
you can't get respect in Hollywood once you...
I can't believe you are trying to second-guess the Whedon.
Once you name something Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you got problems being taken seriously.
The movie was a dark comedy.
That's why Serenity didn't go anywhere, because he's the guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No. Are you kidding me? He's the guy behind a successful cult classic movie and the series that was very long-running and the spin-off series, which millions of people loved. The reason
on
that,
TV.
The reason that Firefly didn't go over well was because Fox fucked it up. It had nothing to do with, they didn't respect him because
I'm
he
just
named
saying
the show
he's
Buffy
having
the
trouble
Vampire
crossing thing. Over because he's associated with Buffy.
I don't think so, Dave. I think it's the opposite. I think people respect him because of Buffy.
Really?
I think I might have to edit all this out.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's a bad name. It's just I can't take that seriously. That's like
But you took Angel seriously.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I have trouble with it. I don't like that name either.
Angel?
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I don't mind it.
Oh, God. You can't. Okay. For all of you other Whedon fans out there, you know you can feel my pain. I know you can. And I thank you for it. Anyway, why don't you ask people to visit our website, Dave?
Which one is that again?
It's
DaveandShecky.com?
DaveandShecky.com.
Come on down to DaveandShecky.com.
Oh, you know what I wanted to tell you? The people who host our podcast, Podomatic, mm-hmm. have a brand new... We can check our stats every day and see, you know, how many downloads and how many subscribers we have. But now they've changed the stats to include a map, a satellite map with little, like, pins in it that show us where people are listening.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We are amazed. Of course, we have people who are listening in the States, and that's where we're from. We have people in Dubai, people in Iran, people in China, Malaysia, Japan, Ireland, Scotland, France, Spain, Greece, the Netherlands. We've got people all over the world. And I just think that's amazing. It's amazing that we sit in this room, talk about a movie we've just seen, and people who are in places that we've never even really thought would listen are listening. Isn't that amazing?
True. How the hell does that happen?
I don't know, but Podomatic did. That's if you want to get a podcast, I'd go to Podomatic and hook yourself up there because those guys are always really working hard for their podcasters, and I gotta thank those guys. Alrighty,
Podomatic. That's your good name.
Podomatic.
That's not like Buffy the Vampire. See, that's a name we can all get behind. Podomatic.
Podomatic.
That makes sense. Podomatic. It's automatic and it's a podcast. It's a natural. That we can make a movie of that. Podomatic the movie. Not Buffy Vampire Slayer the movie.
Is it by Peter Jackson or Joss Whedon?
Both of them. Just not Ron Howard. He can have a cameo. Actually, fuck Ron Howard. We're going to have Ken Howard and his other and his brother. What's his brother's name again?
I just know
Keith Howard. What's his name?
I don't know.
Ken Howard from The White Shadow. No, he's not going to be on.
Oh, who's the Howard that was in Star Trek as a 3-year-old?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, Ken Howard is the guy from White Shadow.
That's what I just said.
Ken, that's not the same guy.
Not Ken Howard. It's another Howard. It's Ron Howard's brother. He's going to be in the Podomatic movie.
Whatever his name is. He was even one of your people that you don't know that you should know who are in movies.
I know. I don't even know him.
You don't even remember him anymore.
Something Howard.
Alrighty. DaveandShecky.com. Be sure and give us a visit, and we have all of our past episodes archived there. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Oh, goodbye.